80% gear, be 100% clear, cause Ryder was ill. Who would've thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man, Ryder had the stupidest verse. Let's do this the truth. Now everybody giving them guest spots. His stocks through the roof, I heard him with S-Dot.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
Ryder is sick and he's spitting fire and Mike got him out the dryer, he's hot. Found him in Fort Minor with top, but a f***ing nihilist porcupine. He's a the type women wanna be within rappers. Hope he gets 8 years in the making, patiently waiting to blow. Now the record with Shinoda's taking over the globe. He's got a partner in crime, his f*** is equally dope. You won't believe the kind of that comes out of this kid's throat. Top. He's not your everyday on the block. He knows how to work with wood he's got, making his way to the top. He often gets a comment on his name. People keep it.
Second down two from the 28. Winston dropping, going underneath, caught by Greer. He breaks the tackle. 45 to the 50. Near sideline, outside the numbers of the 40. To the 30. He's down the sideline and collared to the 21-yard line. Big catch and run by Rashad Greene with 56 seconds remaining. Here's the snap. Winston dropping, looking. West out of the pocket. He's going to try to run with the ball. Diggs, he fumbled the ball. It's loose at the 27-yard line. Auburn says they have it. They do. Jameis Winston has his pocket pick, trying to avoid pressure. And the Seminoles have turned it over. Three-man rush. Marshall looks right. Little hook and lateral they're going to do. There's the lateral to the right side. Now they can go back a little three-flagger. Pass back on the left side. Trey Mason. Mason running to the 30. Mason to the 35. He's tackled. Game over. Those are the champions of college football. Talmon Smith with the tackle that brings down Mason. Celebrate Seminoles. Knowles' third championship. And the SEC reign of victories of the BCS comes to an abrupt halt.
All right, welcome into the zone. Back in the Fury Electric studio, Justin Akery, Chris Kane, Matty T. Appreciate you tuning in. A late, excellent game last night in the national championship. It came down to the wire. And what did we talk about yesterday, Chris Kane? We said, hey, how's it going to look if it comes down to the wire? A Florida State team that is untested largely. How will they respond when it is on the line if it is a close game late? And we saw it. It all came together.
It did. Jameis Winston showed that comfort factor I was talking about. His ability to be comfortable in situations where he hadn't really had to deal with all season just speaks on his maturity level. You posted something earlier today about Trent Dilfer at the Elite 11 camp. We might get to that in a little bit, but I think he was spot on. And it's Winston's ability to keep everybody collected, calm, and focused as they made that game-winning drive that really spoke volumes to me last night about not just him as an athlete and as a quarterback, but as a leader of that team.
I agree. And 34-31, your final. Very impressive performance. Glad you could hear it here on the buzz if you were, in fact, driving around as we were trying to hustle back from Mobile. We got to catch the first part of the game after listening to the Mike Anderson show. But it was entertaining. We were all waiting for Benjamin to make a play. You know, he's, as I think the Pigskin posted on Twitter last night, he said, why don't you throw it to the 8-foot, 5-inch receiver?
Seriously.
And they did throw to him a bit, and he dropped a couple of balls. And that was the thing. Jameis Winston's numbers could have been much better last night.
They were so poor at the beginning of the game. I mean, he started, you know, what was it, 2-for-6 or something like that. Was not finding his guys on the outside and overthrew a couple, I mean, by a mile. And then once they settled down at halftime, really the fake punt to me was the turning point of the game. That's when they were able to finally get themselves together and go down for that score before half and build some momentum heading into the second half, and they were able to do that.
That's a great point. And it didn't seem like desperation. It just seemed like a much-needed shot in the arm.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess he had enough confidence in his defense where if it didn't work out, they were going to be okay. A couple of numbers I thought that were notable. Auburn actually outgains Florida State 449 to 385. FSU on third down last night, 2 of 12. Auburn, 10 of 18.
Incredible.
How does Florida State win the game doing that?
Typically, if you lose the third down battle and, let's say, the turnover battle, that's a recipe for disaster.
Up is down. Cats and dogs living together. It's mass hysteria. We saw a lot of that this weekend in the NFL. The quarterbacks that threw a bunch of interceptions won games this weekend.
Yeah.
Not in Dalton's case.
Andrew Luck, though.
Yeah. And then the quarterbacks, I guess it was the Saturday games, maybe. The quarterbacks that threw, they had thrown like 4, 5, 6 interceptions. They won. And the quarterbacks that lost had zero interceptions. It was weird. But, yeah, there were a lot of bizarre things about last night. But, hey, credit Florida State. They made the plays they had to at the end to win the game, and they pulled it together.
Some missed opportunities for Auburn, especially on that first drive for Nick Marshall, who we've seen has a very good arm in terms of arm strength. For him to underthrow his receiver who was wide open and just looking at 6 points. That's one that they're going to look back on. Of course, the missed field goal hurts. The running into the kicker, too. That was one, too. There was some talk about, was it running into the kicker? Was it the 5-yard penalty or the personal foul? And I think it's kind of the way you hit the kicker. And even though he was going for the ball, and you could tell he did try to back off a little bit, at least not, you know, tackle the guy, they gave him the personal foul and they got the first down to continue the drive.
You know how a few years ago they used to have the incidental contact on the face mask and then the 15-yard penalty, the personal foul?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind if they did that with the running into the kicker. If you hit the guy and he falls down and it's a penalty, and it ought to be 15 yards.
Yeah.
It ought to be an automatic first down. Or maybe you make it 10 yards and an automatic first. Whatever it is, it should be an automatic first down. Let's move on already.
What's the judgment? If he's going for the kicker, then it's a personal foul, but no one's really going for the kicker. Most of it is accidental. You never tell a guy, hey, go tackle the guy who's punting the ball. That never happens, really. It's all accidental, and I think that one was last night, too. He just happened to hit him a little bit harder than the ref probably would have liked in order to give him the 5-yard penalty, which would have ultimately ended the drive.
Well, it was I really thought that the kickoff return was going to be the difference in the game. And of course, you know, it ended up helping Florida State immensely to give them a chance to win at the end.
What a swing that was, though.
But I mean, is that not so typical? I mean, with the year that Auburn's had, is it not crazy that a play you barely see happen ever during the year plays a role in the national championship game? And this time to their detriment,
yes,
not to their benefit.
The magic ran out last night. We're all wondering, when is it going to run out? When are they finally going to lose that magic that they've had the past few weeks to end the season? And it finally happened.
Well, the final poll is out, too. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure that Auburn's the best team in the league. I'm really not. I'm not sure they're the best team in the SEC, and yet they were almost the best team in America last night. Auburn finishes the season ranked number 2, South Carolina 4, Missouri 5, Alabama 7, LSU 14, A&M 18, and Vanderbilt 24. Vanderbilt pokes in the top 25. Good for them.
Okay, nice.
So that's 7 by my count in the top 25. Pretty good representation.
And I was hearing some guys talk this morning, Sports Talk Radio, you know, before you go into work and everything. It's the early morning stuff, and they were talking about, you know, is it over for the SEC? Oh, you know, the SEC, oh, it's finally over. Oh, my goodness. Really? I mean, it wasn't a great year. 7-3 in bowl games. They lost both BCS games by a total of what, 10 points? Mm-hmm. You know, 11 points? A touchdown in Alabama's case in last night.
I thought they lost by more than a touchdown, didn't they?
No, they came. The late fumble scoop and score.
Okay.
But they were driving. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
A good point. That's a good, valid point. But I just don't see the fact that people are saying, oh, that's the end of the SEC. Yes, it's the end of an incredible run. But the fact that a lot of people who are outside the SEC are rejoicing and saying, yes, this is the greatest thing ever, I think it speaks more volumes to how powerful the conference is. I mean, to beat the top, and they're not saying, oh, they won the national championship. They're saying, oh, the SEC finally has its run over with.
Here's what's funny to me. For the first time ever, I assume?
Yeah.
Well, it has to be because they haven't lost the BCS title.
Exactly.
For the first time ever, the SEC loses both its BCS games. And so all of a sudden it's like, eh, we'll do something else now. Well, we lost both our BCS games, so next year we'll go to a 14 playoff, okay? Yeah, we're over this whole BCS thing. Now that we lost both of them, we're going to go ahead and do something else. Let's go to a 14 playoff next year. Just now that finally the rest of college football is caught up,
yep.
Just now the SEC is no longer the dominant force that it was throughout the BCS. And now they're going to change the format and put the SEC in better shape to win a national championship going forward.
Well, and these bozos on the air this morning that I was listening to were saying
Tommy and David?
Oh, no, not those guys. I love them. They were saying how, oh, well, I think this is going to, and you could tell, they were from the north. They were saying how, oh, this definitely eliminates the SEC from getting two teams in the playoffs from now on, right? This definitely does it, right? It has to. I don't think so.
No, there would have been two in there this year.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's not I don't think this is anything done with the SEC. In fact, like you said, the SEC is just getting more help with this playoff next year.
It is interesting. Florida State gets in as the number one champ, number one team. The next best team is Clemson at 8 in the ACC. Michigan State at 3, and the next Big Ten team is Ohio State at 12. The SEC has 4 in the top 7.
Thank you.
Okay.
Four
in the top 7, and one
thank
of those,
you.
And the lowest ranked of the 4 is Alabama.
raise your hand if you thought that was going to happen at the beginning of the season.
And the Pac-12, despite the dominance throughout the year, the Pac-12 looks like this at the end of the year. No, not 2. Nobody in the top 5, I mean top 6, nobody in the top 7, 8. Oregon at 9 is the top-ranked Pac-12 team at the end of the year.
The top-ranked Pac-12 team is at 9.
They went 6-3 in bowl games. Auburn 2, Michigan State, South Carolina, Missouri, Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson, Oregon at 9, and your UCF Knights at 10.
First top 10 ranking in school history. Boom, baby!
Stanford at 11.
Yeah.
UCLA at 16, which, by the way, they get Brett Hundley back next year.
That's huge.
They'll be a dominant team next year again.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. USC at 19. How about USC quietly finishing 10-4?
Way to go, Coach O.
Arizona State at 21. And Washington at 25. But, again, their top-ranked team is number 9. That's amazing. So, despite them being, I thought, the most talented overall conference this year, they when you finish with your top team at 9, that didn't help your cause much.
Well, they went 6-3 in bowl games, so think about this, too. Some of those teams elevated their ranking towards the end of the season to get to that position. They weren't even there beforehand to get in the top 25, a couple of them.
Only one conference, though, Chris, ended up undefeated in the postseason.
Just one.
That would be the Sun Belt Conference, 2-0.
They can thank who for that?
Well, ASU in large part, I guess, for half of it.
I mean, for you can split it 50-50.
And that game, their game was just as entertaining as the national championship game. Certainly on a little different kind of stage, but it was.
Anytime you end the game on a blocked field goal to tie it, that's awesome. Exciting.
Yeah, it would have been. It was a great way to go out for them, and I'm glad for them. Something else significant I saw. Speaking of polls, the new college basketball poll is out, and guess what? A couple of things significant about the current college basketball poll,
and that is,
well, it's the AP poll, mind
you. Oh, okay.
Number one. Six years ago, the last time Duke was ranked outside the AP top 10 until Monday. Duke is no longer in the top 10. First time in 6 years, according to this information.
That's incredible.
And then guess who got one vote? I admit, only one vote, but still. On the 20-year anniversary of the season that Arkansas won the national title, the Hogs have a vote in the AP poll.
A vote.
But, hey, for the first time, they're getting a little bit of respect. That's good.
Well, I saw John Rothstein from CBS Sports. He tweeted out, Arkansas might be the biggest question mark in the country at 11-2. Just don't know how they're going to be and how they're going to end up in SEC play. That's the big thing. Starting on the road, too. I
mean, relevant enough to be talking about. Tomorrow will be very telling. The next three games will be telling because you have two fantastic opponents coming in.
At least you got them at home, though.
Kentucky and Florida both coming into Bud Walton Arena after going on the road to play an A&M team that is frankly not very good. We're going to play some more sound from the championship game last night coming up in just a moment. If you want in, 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. Congratulations to Collins and Henry from Arkansas, named to the all-freshman team, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? Deservingly so. Five players from the SEC made the 28-man team, and two guys that kind of expect from Arkansas to make that team on the offensive side of the ball. Hunter Henry, only 28 catches, 400 yards. I say only because I think they should have targeted him more. I think he's such a huge weapon in that offense that I felt it was underutilized even though he got on the first team.
Football Writers of America voting them to the all freshman team. No surprise there. Also, Trey Flowers announced just in a teleconference that he's coming back.
That was
to our surprise. It was weird. But you know what? It got him talking about the program again.
Yes. It was a PR move. I think it was a PR move.
It was smart. It was good.
Absolutely.
It got us thinking about them now. And, of course, we're also waiting on that defensive line hire. So, apparently, he's talked to 15 guys. I saw that Robbie Neiswanger had sent that out this morning.
Remember he talked about he said he has a three-deep chart of coaches that he goes through. And I don't know if he's already burned through that, now has to interview that many people. But that's a long list for just a defensive line coach. But at the same time, it does tell you how much he cares about that position. He's not going to hire just anybody. He's going to look for the best possible candidate until he finds it.
Some postgame sound from last night. Jameis Winston, I guess he was the most valuable player, most outstanding player. What do they call it, the MOP or the MVP?
I'd say the MVP. Give it to him.
Top dog. Led a game-winning drive, and he was very good on that final drive last night. Finally got it together after a rough start.
That's a great way to cap off our season. That's the way that we wanted to cap off our season. Because if we would have blew them out, people were like, oh, Auburn had an off game. Florida State is in here, and we did it big. As a quarterback, you got to always believe that you are never bigger than the game. And I was so outcome-oriented, I was like, man, I'm trying to blow these boys out. I got a team for a reason, so I can't go out there and do stuff by myself. And I took the initiative in the second half. I told the offense, if we don't turn the ball over, we're going to win the game. And we had one turnover in the first half. And then the second half, we didn't turn the ball over and we won. I'm just so excited for our guys. It's not really about me. It's about them. All I can say now is, hey, we're champions. That's all that matters to me. My birthday, I care less about that. About the Heisman, if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be in that predicament anyway. This championship means so much to me.
Coach said you didn't have your A game. What grade would you give that before the last drive?
You said I didn't have my A game. Coach said that was the best game that I played. But the last drive, that's a great way to cap off our season. That's the way that we wanted to cap off our season. Because if we would have blew them out, people like, oh, Auburn had an off game. But for us to physically line up, match them, for us to overcome the adversity and show like, hey, Florida State is in here. And we did it big. We've been through adversity, and we handled it well. And when they gave us all they got, we handled that well, too, and we came up victorious.
So I guess he's happy he didn't blow him out, but he was trying to blow him out.
Yeah, at least he admitted
it. I'm confused.
It.
I was trying to blow him out, but he's happy he didn't blow him out. I don't get it.
I don't know.
I'm confused. Anyway, that was Jameis Winston. Congratulations to him. They win.
They did.
It's all good.
Well deserved.
Here's Jimbo Fisher.
It's been a 4-year evolution to put ourselves in this opportunity. We talked about being a program and we wanted to do things right. We wanted to build the foundation. And these guys have given their hearts and souls to us as coaches. It's been unbelievable. I'm happy for our conference. The ACC is good football, folks. It's a great football conference. We got great commissioner. We got great football. We got great coaches. We got great players. I'm happy for the ACC. The SEC is great football. I coached in that league for 13 years. I respect every bit of it. There's some other folks in this country can play some football too.
This is the best football game he played because he's struggle for 3 quarters. That's a great team on the other side, but great players understand great moments. And when they get the ball in the last quarter and you still got a chance, they can rise their team up and make plays. That's what great players do. But he's surrounded by a bunch of great players too. This is a great organization.
We always believed in ourselves, and we told our guys this is going to be moments like this. We had those great games, but we played well. But we know you play championship games, you got to go earn them. And our kids, there's some character on this side too. These guys know how to play those games. This is a heck of a football team, and the ACC is a daggone good football conference.
There you go. ACC, ACC, chant it loud, chant it proud. They win the national title last night.
Hey, Jimbo Fisher in his 4 years there, he's 45-10, won every bowl game that he's been in. Chick-fil-A, yeah. Champ Sports, Orange, and now the BCS championship game. Do you put him in that category now of elite coaches? You kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of coaches who have won national titles that we wouldn't put in the elite coach category. No. But put him up there. I'm not saying on level or on par with Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, but getting there.
Yeah,
least.
No question.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you have to, and that's the thing. I mean, this is where Saban was a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and if you continue to win high-level bowl games like this and a national title or two more, yeah, you're going to be a guy that's going to be remembered. You know, I remember at the beginning of the year we talked about where does Nick Saban fit in the overall picture of coaches? And, I mean, we start, well, look, I won that. Oh, my gosh. Well, look at that. Okay,
yeah.
Well, look at that. Look at the overall win total. Look at what he's done. Look at the conversation. I mean, yeah, Jimbo Fisher keeps this run up pretty good.
Even though it's in the ACC, a conference that some people consider to be inferior to a league like the SEC, which Meyer and Saban have done it in, which has dominated for so long.
Well, it is an inferior league.
Yes, overall. League overall. I'm not saying the Florida State Seminoles
Florida State are. Is the exception, not the rule.
Yes. In fact, I'd welcome them in the SEC. I think a
couldn't
lot of people
more.
Would.
Yeah, them and Clemson seem to be like they would be good fits, you know, as far as geographic and as far as the level of play.
I think the other teams in that state that are in the SEC are the reason those
right.
two aren't,
yeah.
which is unfortunate, but
sure.
that's just the way it is.
No doubt, no doubt. We'll talk more about the game last night. I'm going to hear from Gus Miles on in just a second as well. Brian is up first. Hey, Brian.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right, pretty good. Hey, first thing I got, I guess I may be the only – person in America who feels that Jameis Winston is just a tad bit overrated. I think his work is a product of his receivers. His receivers are awesome.
Yeah.
His receivers are great. He has that big 6'5" guy, what's his name, Benjamin, and then Green was just fast. You know, they had a lot of SEC caliber type players. And I think that makes Jameis Winston look better than what he really is. I didn't see where he got a chance to really showcase or flex what kind of quarterback he was, because the routes they ran was pretty much the under routes, you know, the out routes. And I think that gives credit to the receiver of how good his receivers were.
I will say this. I wouldn't take him over Johnny Manziel.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree with you just now. I'm with that 100%. I would take Johnny Manziel over him.
I think Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban might agree with you too, the way he was talking about Johnny Manziel last night in the pregame show.
Well, he's seen Johnny Manziel play pretty well a couple times. Johnny Manziel has shredded
he's
Alabama
a gamer.
The last
he's a,
two years.
Well, Manziel's a gamer, and as far as we know, Winston. He turned into a gamer in the second half, and on that final drive, he you know finally showed up and was as advertised, but. It was a long road to get there in that first and second quarter for him. Those were probably the longest quarters he's had to deal with this entire season.
He's a lot slower than I thought he was out of the game. Once he gets up to full speed, he's got a long gait and he can, you know, get away from guys. But as far as his quickness and his ability to move away from defenders, even in the pocket, I mean, I didn't like him not being able to shift around in the pocket. He's sort of gangly. And he looked a little awkward at times, and I thought he's young still. I mean, he threw off the wrong foot a couple times, and he just looked a little awkward. He got the job done, though. You have to give him credit. But there are a couple of guys I would probably take ahead of him if I was starting a team and had my pick of the litter.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Roethlisberger, one of those big guys that's not very shifty but get away from you kind of quick.
Elusive.
Yeah. And I agree with you guys for Florida State, the ACC, the conference sucks. I really feel like they are a SEC team in the ACC league. But I just hang up and listen, guys.
Brian, appreciate it. Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
And again, I mean, it goes back to something we talked about last week. The Pigskin took some heat over talking about conference loyalty and, you know, how you feel about your team and whether or not you like being in the best league or how important that is to you and how important should it be and that kind of thing. Look, you think that they care? I mean, Jimbo Fisher's obviously going to try to prop his league up, and he really doesn't have to at this point. Florida State's a great team. I don't care what league they play in. They were a great team. That's what we talked about this yesterday too, Chris. Yes, they killed everybody, but the league is weak. But does that mean they're not good? No.
No.
We don't know.
They
don't know
care of business in every single game they were supposed to.
I will say this, though. The best tweet I saw after the game last night was, great performance last night. Now, how would you like to try that 8 weeks a year?
Saw that too.
And that's the thing. I mean, if you play in the Pac-12, if you play in the Big Ten this year, you got better competition.
Yeah.
And certainly the Big 12. I mean, you had Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas Tech back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I mean, and then you've got, you know, a few other schools that will give you some trouble. Kansas State's a tough defensive team. I mean, it certainly is a different deal. It's not to say the ACC doesn't have a couple of good teams that are pretty good this year, I guess. A couple of good programs that are
second
good this
year. Second-best team in the ACC this year is?
Is Duke.
Duke.
Yeah.
That's something I never...
And Duke's good.
I don't mean to take that away, but, you know.
Duke almost beat the seventh-best team in the SEC this year. Almost.
Just about.
Yeah, they almost did.
They did.
Then Johnny Manziel happened. We'll hear from Gus Malzahn after the break. Ernie Murray's in it as well. Arkansas begins SEC play tomorrow. Jim Harris will join us at 11 o'clock today. If you want in on the football game from last night or anything else, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. To be honest, I'm continually catching my breath. So if you're being annoyed by the way I'm talking today, I apologize.